ऐसी मशीन लगाऊंगा इस साइड से आलू घुसेगा उस साइड से सोना निकलेगा।
Welcome to the Attention Please podcast, now on video. If you like the podcast, kindly link, share, subscribe. You know what to do. So let's start today's podcast with a little story. So this story took place about 10 years ago now. At that point of time, I used to get a lot of emails from people. I used to blog a lot, and there used to be a lot of email that I would get. So this email was a little different. It was an email from a reporter in Telegraph. Asking me whether the CID had gotten in touch with me regarding a tweet, essentially, that I had made at that point of time based on Mukul Roy, who was at that point of time, again, part of Trinamool Congress. He took a brief excursion into BJP and he's now back into Trinamool Congress. At that point of time, he was the railway minister and had been removed by Mamata Banerjee for dissent. And I had tweeted Mukul Vanish, which to any Bengali of a certain age and vintage is the natural line that comes to mind whenever somebody hears the name Mukul, because it's a very famous line from a Satyajit Ray movie that we all grew up with, Shonar Kella. And, you know, the fact that there's somebody used by the name of Mukul and that he's kind of losing his place in the sun, Mukul vanishes, very benign, I would say, as it's kind of silly too, but that's what I tweeted. I mean, tweets are supposed to be silly. And then, as happens normally with many of my tweets that get some traction, and I think tweets in general, whoever makes them, if it gets a certain amount of traction in social media, somebody makes it into a meme or passes it off as their own. And that's precisely what happened here, for good, at least it helped me. Because, you know, somebody made it a meme and this professor essentially forwarded that meme to his mailing group. And this led to him being arrested. This is almost 10 years ago. And even though the law under which he was originally booked no longer exists in the books, this person is still going from pillar to post, as they like to say. I read about it about a few months ago, that this thing still is going on. It's ridiculous, but it's still going on. Now, the reason why I bring this up, and some of you may have heard this story before because I've said it many times, is I had to bring it up in the context of Munawar Farooqi. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. And the action that was taken against him by the Bangalore police. Now, in both these cases, you have state governments essentially shutting down comedic dissent. Let's put it like that. I'm still not getting into what Munawar Farooqi said. I'm going to come to that. But let's presume, let's take a black box view of both. Of both this Mukul Vanish as well as what Munawar Farooqi said or says, whatever its comedic routine is. In both these cases, you had a state government essentially coming down very hard on free speech. In one case, preventing it from happening, where the police basically said, we can't guarantee security, ergo you're not allowed to perform. And the other case, it's even worse because it's not that he was not allowed to, of course, nobody knew he was going to do it, but once he had done it post facto, he's essentially, that person's life is ruined because he's, you know, he's the death through courts, which many in India, we know, it's not the verdict of the court often, which is the punishment, it's the process. So in both these cases, and the reason why I bring them up, in both these cases, you have two state governments of two different political persuasions, and that's the critical thing. Taking what would be called to be a rather heavy-handed approach to free speech, except one of them, only one of them, makes it to international news. Only one of them becomes a huge topic for how intolerant the Indian state is. Mind you, none of these governments were the federal government. These were both state governments. But only in one of these does it become an issue of intolerance in India and, you know, rising Hindu fascism, you know, all those, you know, those standard, labels. And this to me is ironic. And I come back to it again and again, this kind of duality of our public discourse, where essentially the same thing, it just depends on who it happens to in order to get outrage. So the case of this professor in Bengal, People have forgotten him about him, totally. And I don't think this has done anything for his career. But look at what he's done for Munawwar Faruqi's career. Munawwar Faruqi is now a celebrity. He is now performing at different places. He is now touted as a cause célèbre. I hope I got that pronunciation right. And he is a crusader against crusader for free speech. While this professor just has to go from one court date to another, fighting this out in basically legal hell at this point of time. Nothing's really happened to him. I mean, nothing's good's come out of this. The reason why I say this is that, and I'm going to come to the content of Munawwar Faruqi. And, first of all, people would say, are you supporting this? No, I don't support it in either case. This is the thing about a centrist. I don't really care who the person is. I just think that it is not the role of the law to legislate, prevent, or punish speech, especially speech which is seen to be dissent, especially, and we'll come to comedy. It's not so much about comedy. It's a question of dissent. So for me, I'm against both. I'm against shutting down Munawwar Faruqi, and I'm against, what's happened to this professor in Bengal. So let me make it clear that I'm not providing a justification. What I'm trying to bring out in this podcast is kind of the different standards, which has kind of been a persistent theme for those of you who follow my podcast in Indian public discourse, where if the action is taken by a right-wing BJP government, it's interpreted in one way. If it's taken by another government, which is seen to be opposite to the BJP government, it's basically shoved under the carpet. And the irony is that recently we had a bunch of anti-government celebrities going to Mamata Banerjee and, saying, oh my God, look, they don't let us perform. They don't let us, they're deplatforming us. To somebody who's been doing this consistently, to any political dissident, even recently she was at a press conference where she said, yeah, sure, we will give advertisements to papers, but they need to carry like positive news about our government's activities, which is essentially code word for don't say anything bad about the government. Again, this is not news anywhere. This is considered to be perfectly fine. But of course, if it was another political party, then can be absolutely 100% sure that there would be some fine specimens of our media fraternity who would be writing $200 a piece articles in the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal on this. Now that I've gotten this out of the way, let's just take a look at what Munawwar Faruqi said. Now, I'm an old man. And I say I'm an old man because I see that as a pejorative used all the time on social media, that, entitled old man, old Indian man, sometimes Brahmin, old man. I'm not a Brahmin, but still, I'm an old man. So whatever I'm going to say is in that context. I mean, I come from a place where I think that a comedy club there's a kind of implied contract when you go into a stand-up comedian's show. And that the notion of what is offensive and what is not offensive, there are certain places, it's kind of contextual as to what offensive is. In my opinion, this is where I come from. So if you go to a comedy show, then you're basically implicitly signing a contract that I'm going there to be offended. I kind of agree with the old Carlin notion that, humor basically starts off where you're offended. It then pushes you. There is a push. Humor should not always be comforting. It should be uncomforting, discomforting. And I absolutely agree with that. And that's the way I grew up. And that's when I started writing comedy, humor, when I wrote my May I Have Your Attention, Please. This is where I worked from. That, yeah, I knew that not everybody will like what I'm writing. But the moment you open a book written by Arnaud Bray, you then kind of saying, look, I am kind of signing away my rights to be in a safe space. And that, for me, is comedy. If you go to a comedy show, if you open a YouTube video, you're essentially saying, so there's no reason for a trigger warning. You're basically signing away your rights to a trigger warning. And again, it's all a matter of context. What you can say in you know, on an open mic in a stand-up show. I mean, you can't say at work. You know, the same kind of behavior which you could do at a bar, you can't do at an, you know, again, an official formal gathering, can't do at a family gathering. So there is obviously there's a notion of context, and anybody in adulting means that you understand what that context is and what you can say and what you can't say based on who is exactly in the room. So for me, that was the way I grew up, and that's what I still believe should be the case. So in that case, what Munawar Faruqi said isn't important. He could have said anything. If I found it offensive, that's fine. I will not listen to, I won't pay to go to a Munawar Faruqi show. I won't recommend a Munawar Faruqi show. And I definitely will not watch any of his YouTube videos. I don't watch many YouTube videos of stand-up comics, Indian stand-up comics anyways. I just don't find them fun. But that's perfectly fine. I mean, that's ideally, that's where it should remain. And I, you know, there are many things that I find funny that people would consider offensive. But, you know, which brings me to what it has become. We are living in a place where J.K. Rowling, and this is possibly one of the most powerful cultural figures alive, if not the most powerful cultural figure alive. She is excluded from the Harry Potter reunion because of our views. You said you're talking about comedy. You've kind of shifted. Bear with me for a second. Recently, they said that the people who play Quidditch are going to change the name from Quidditch to God knows what, because they don't want to be associated with J.K. Rowling anymore. I mean, God damn it. I mean, you're playing Quidditch, man. No matter what you call it, it's still J.K. Rowling. But anyways, we have reached a stage where what I like to call BuzzFeed Marxists have created this elaborate system of rules of what is proper comedy, what you can say, what you can't say. It's not a question of you can't say this. Oh, you can say whatever you want as long as you are seen to be punching up. What is punching up? They get to decide. And what do you mean by they get to decide? So this is essentially a kind of a decentralized, there's no central authority on this, right? So anybody who has any kind of social media clout will immediately jump onto anything. They will affix a label that you are, let's say, phobic, X-phobic, whatever that X is. And you will always have people who will, because this is the way for them to show their power. So individually, as I said, we're very powerless. But once we get into these groups or tribes, we can essentially bring down somebody who's way more powerful than we are. And we don't need to be a lot of people. We just need to persistently make noise and shame that person. And that's really what social media has become over the years, which is why, I mean, think of J.K. Rowling. Think of J.K. Rowling 20 years back. Do you think anybody could have taken J.K. Rowling out of Harry Potter? Now they can. Now, you know, 1,000 people whose name you would never have heard can do that. Maybe not 1,000, maybe 10,000 people retweeting a tweet. That's it. That's all they need to take down J.K. Rowling. So we've reached a stage where essentially there is a, even comedy is not a safe space. It's not a place where you can just go ahead and say anything. We've seen it multiple cases. We've seen Dave Chappelle, for instance, recently, for those of you who followed that, where, you know, Dave Chappelle made a lot of... I heard that routine. And personally, again, I felt that that was... It just didn't... I didn't find it funny what he said, Dave Chappelle said, and I found it was kind of hateful to an extent. But again, that doesn't mean that the rest of Dave Chappelle is not funny. He's a very funny guy. He's pushed envelopes. He's definitely one of the greatest comics alive. There's no doubt. But you know, his that rant about, you know, trans people and everything, I just found it needless, useless, and really in poor taste. But again, that's my opinion. But you know, the fact is, I don't have the power to deplatform him. But again, there were a lot of people in Netflix who felt that he should be cancelled, and this is all going around. But let's just come back to just look at what Munawar Faruqi said. In this context of where you have to be careful what you say in a comedy show too. You should not be punching down. You should not be, you should not be bullying. You should not be seen to be bullying. There are only some people who you can target. There are other people who you can't target. This is an elaborate system of rules. So what he said, which I found beyond the pale, was, so he he made a joke about the 59 people who were burned to death alive in Godhra in 2002. He compared that to a Hindi movie, the kind of Hindi movie I used to like to see at one point of time. He was also making a joke about that movie too, but that's fine. I can take that part. A burning train. And he basically essentially implies two things. He says that, you know, I was watching it and it was like my dad said. Also, the joke wasn't particularly clear to me. But whatever, what he was trying to say was that this was the Amit Shah production, which is essentially that all of this is fake, which is a very standard trope among people who want to say that essentially this was all a setup. And this is, you know, beyond the pale. I mean, I cannot believe it. I mean, this is one of the things that anti-Semitic people and neo-Nazis love to say is that the Holocaust never happened. Sympathizers of Osama bin Laden say 9/11 never happened or it was an inside job. This is exactly that. It seeks to dehumanize the opponent. In this case, it does, because he is casting them as an opponent, because he then follows up with that, you know, when I heard they had been burned alive, I said, well, Hindus basically, they burn their dead bodies after they're dead, right? Now, so this is hateful. This is the question that I have. Is this punching up? I know that Munawwar Faruqi has, you know, based, because the cornerstone of the BuzzFeed Marxist argument is you can say whatever you want as long as you belong to a certain group. So for certain groups that you belong to, you get a ticket, you get a free pass ticket. And so you take your free pass tickets, you take the tickets of the group that you're targeting, and then you do which side is bigger? So if this side is bigger, you can say it. If that side is bigger, you can't say it. This is ridiculous, but that's really the way it works. So was Munawwar Faruqi punching up when he was making a joke about women, children being burned to death in a train? That's my question. If he was, again, I'm not saying that, in my opinion, he can say that in a comedy show. Now, I would found it terrible, but he can definitely say it. There were people in the audience who were laughing, so there was definitely people who found it funny, which goes to say a lot about those people too. But that's fine. The world is not doesn't have to see it the way I see it. Again, this is where I differ from, BuzzFeed Marxists and the wokes. They don't have to see it the way I see it. Again, I will not be part of that world. I will have other worlds. And there's a lot of things that, you know, he's not the world, right? So let him perform. There are people who will find him funny. Let them find it funny. But here's the thing. So he is made into a hero because of what he said. In this day and age, now nobody's going and saying, look, he has a right to perform, but what he said is intensely hateful. Nobody says that. Some people are saying it online, but people say anything online. But those with the bully pulpit, the big names, the guys who write in Washington Post, the guys who make opinion in the world, they're not saying, look, this is what he said. This is what he said. Can you imagine what would have happened if this was, you know, and again, you could say this, you know, punching up, punching down. That's the thing. If somebody had said that about any other religion, I don't think they should. I'm not saying that they should. But in this case, this is, you can say, well, it's a joke. Yeah, I get it. And sometimes, you know, jokes go wrong. I understand that. Well, just say, that was not a joke I intended to make, and maybe I shouldn't have made it, or just came out wrong. That's fine. You know, things misfire. Happens to me. Happens to everybody. I've gone back and read articles that I've written, and I've said, no, I think I shouldn't have said this. And I'm more than happy to. I've never said something like this, because I never felt something like this. I've never felt the need to, you know, make a joke on something like this. I mean, there's so many other things to make jokes on. There is Gunda, there is Jani Dushman. So many topics, really. But for me, the thing about this entire incident has been this absolute lack of focus on what he said. And how you're making a hero out of this person, how you're making him. And that's the problem. Is this punching down seriously? Is this punching up seriously? And what does this say? And people might say, yeah, sure. I mean, the underlying thing, why isn't this a problem? Let's just call it out for what it is, because they were car savings. That's it. Even though they were children, they were people who had done nothing. They were just the fact that they were part of a Hindu revivalist political movement. That's it. That fair game now. You can absolutely say this. So this is where the making this joke actually, if you really, really deconstruct it, that's why it's not considered to be punching down. Now, people can continue to do this, but the fact is, and this is what I love to say, because I say it a lot, is that once you start essentially justifying this with your silence, you're essentially part of the problem. You are making a discourse get worse. Because guess what? It's not that people are, you know, not everybody is buying your punching up, punching down. I mean, you can bully people. You can bully some people. You can deflatform some people. But there's some people who are not going to be, who are just not going, they're going to have a bigger crowd of their own. And they're going to push back. One of the things with Trump, I'm not saying this has got anything to do with it, but it's because, you know, Trumpism still survives because the other side tries to police speech. And people look at Trump and say, well, I can't say this, but this guy can. So, you know, a charlatan, hateful charlatan, bigot like Trump gets the popularity that he gets. It's because of that. And people wonder where this is coming from. This comes from the other side too. It comes from extreme opinion on other sides. So summing up, I do not have ever supported the state taking action on free speech. Whether it be the professor forwarding a cartoon or Munawwar Farooqi saying whatever he wants in a stand-up comedy space, I think there is... You signed up for it. You went there. If you don't like it, don't go there. Don't subscribe. Do subscribe to this channel, though. But don't subscribe to his channel. Don't go and visit his shows. And there are some people who find it very funny, the fact that, you know, 59 people were burned alive. I mean, for me, the shocking thing wasn't so much him saying it, but the laughter that he got from the audience. That was more shocking to me. So that showed me that, yeah, well... In his case, this was maybe was even a successful joke because it did get laughter. And for a comic, that's really what he's there for. He's there to get a laugh out of it. So for me, a comedy routine is not a place where we should legislate. We should just leave it. Again, the same speech at work, no. In a family gathering, no. In a public space, no. There are certain places where you can say things and there are certain places you can't. And so that's part of free speech. A free speech is never really truly free. Calling bomb in a crowded theater. So it's never really free. Or calling bomb in a plane. It's always a function of the context, function of where you are. What is the consequence of what you're saying? So there's subtlety to it, but it's not rocket science. Every adult intrinsically knows what it is. Nobody can say, but I said it, I didn't know what would happen. Oh yeah, you sure did know what would happen. So you can't claim ignorance. So I'm not supporting, you know, banning him. But what I'm trying to say is that given the current sensitivity around what comics can say, my disappointment, I shouldn't say surprised, I'm disappointed that somebody who said something as hateful as this, that person is now being shown to be somebody worth emulating, that this person is essentially saying truth to power and that he's being silenced because of that. No, he isn't. There are some people who are, I would say. Not saying there aren't people, governments in India, be it BJP, be it Trinamool, be it any government, Congress, they absolutely stifle the voice of dissidents everywhere. There is no doubt in my mind. But this guy isn't one. And the fact that he can still, because mind you, if anybody had said something about any other religion in this way, trust me, no matter what action the government would have taken against him, that person wouldn't then be made into a hero in the way that he is being made. My contention in this podcast episode, he's no hero. I still would support his right to perform. I would support his... And one more thing, if perhaps he was on the opposite side of the political spectrum, here's what would have happened to him. Guaranteed. Maybe the police wouldn't have done anything to him. Maybe. I don't know. Again, depends on which state he was in and who he was speaking against. But he would absolutely be deplatformed. He would just, no comedy club would host him because he was like, what, that guy? He's just a bigot. We're not going to host him. That he would have, you know, he would be taken to the cleaners in the national media. Whenever you would Google him, whenever anybody would Google him, they would find the worst labels affixed to his name. He would be tarnished. His reputation would be tarnished forever. There's a new Netflix series out written by Manu Joseph, which I haven't seen. And the trailers, I didn't find it particularly funny. I'm not intending to see it. But from what I understand, it's the Manu Joseph thing. And, you know, but I did see a review of some of that. And people were like, you know, from Anupama Chopra's website. It was like terrible. It's the review isn't really of the... Review is just basically the content of what he's saying. It's essentially labels. And again, as I say, humor works, humor doesn't work. And I'm pretty sure that what Netflix passed will be nowhere close to what Munawar Faruqi has said. But the sheer vitriol that's being targeted against that show. Again, I'm not planning to see it. It's not my kind of humor. Again, so don't think of this as an endorsement for that. But what I'm trying to say is that some content, it's just not possible in this day and age to put that out and not get labels affixed to you. And some people don't really care for labels, and maybe, but some people do, right? And that's really what it comes down to with Munawar Faruqi. I think that the labels that are being stuck on him right now of being a hero, of being a dissident, I don't agree with that based on the content of what he said. I don't know how good a comedian he is. I mean, I've seen those routines. I had to see them. I didn't find them particularly funny. But in general, I haven't found many Indian comics to be funny. Maybe because I'm not the right age for, you know, the target audience. That could possibly be the reason. But it's this heroism, this lionization of Munawar Faruqi, which... It's basically making me make this podcast. I don't think he's been questioned on this. He's gone on, he's done several media appearances. Nobody's really, you know, see, let's go back to what you said. What exactly were you meaning? You're trying to dehumanize, you know, people burnt alive in a train. Is that the comedy? Is that funny? Do you think that's funny? Nobody's gone. And again, if anybody else had made any other kind of joke, you could be 100% sure they would have just shit onto him like that. He's been allowed to avoid that. And instead, there have been people who are now actively promoting him. He's performing irony in Calcutta. Of course, I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any jokes against the ruling dispensation there. That's absolutely no. Then you'd be fighting a case for the next 10 years, I can guarantee you. So that's it. That's really what I wanted to say. It's been quite a long podcast. I try to keep my video podcasts kind of restricted to 10, 15 minutes, but it's kind of gone on. And you know what? I had a good time saying it. So if you like this podcast, like, share, subscribe, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.